Blog Talk Radio.
We're working on the Lord this morning from First Peter, the third chapter. And I'd like to direct your attention to the fourth verse of First Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. It reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the faith of the Lord is against those who do evil. For who is going to know you that you are evil and good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear the blessed, do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We want to preach briefly on this subject this morning. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. One thing that we've learned about this year, 2020, is that we are living in a changing world.
Amen.
This world has undergone and is undergoing drastic changes, seemingly on a daily basis. We have one faction trying their best to send us back to the quote unquote good old under the pretense of making this country great again. But no matter how vast the changes are, in this world, the absolutes are still the same. Jesus, our master, is the same. Our message is the same. And our mission is still the same. But what we need in this changing world is the anointing of the Holy Ghost to relate our unchanging gospel to this changing time. God has a word. God is still speaking. God is still moving. For when Peter wrote this first epistle, he was addressing believers who lived in a changing world. They were facing the imminent possibility of having to suffer for righteousness' sake. And in light of the suffering, Peter urged them to have a Christian answer ready. When you were suffering, Peter was saying, while I was suffering, make sure that you have not just any kind of answer, but a Christian answer. Because in the day and time in which we live today, many folk have an answer for what's going on, but it's not necessarily the truth. But when you have a Christian answer, that means that answer is truthful. And where the truth is, there's God. The day may well come where we may face persecution for the sake of the gospel. This absurd call of returning to a outmoded and outdated racist society of yesterday can't continue without creating tensions in society that will make this society snap. In other words, we're not going back to the good old days. We're pressing on ahead to our destiny. And when that day arrives, we have to take a stand and be a Christian witness in the presence of hatred and opposition. Jesus is already in us. He's already told us. Whoever kills you will think that they're offering God service. And therefore, we have to make sure that the answer that we give while we're suffering offering and our first and foremost Christ-centered and Christ-dedicated. You have to recognize that Jesus is our Lord. No one, the word says, it says that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And this implication is clear because to name Jesus as Lord is what we call a saving act. That's where it must begin, because the mind takes me back to the Apostle Paul when he was on that Damascus road and he had that personal encounter with Christ Jesus. That Paul, when he was knocked off that horse, he heard the voice of Jesus and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And what that means is that in the beginning of the Christian walk, it starts with Jesus. And then when it's time for you to depart this earth, it still refers to Jesus. You are tied to Jesus in the beginning and the end of your earthly journey. But Paul also looked forward to the day when, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we glorify Jesus, we recognize his perfection.
Amen.
When we magnify Jesus, we recognize his greatness.
Amen.
When we justify Jesus, we recognize his justice.
Yeah.
And when we sanctify him, we recognize his holiness. In other words, when we revere Jesus as the Lord of holiness in our lives, that's when the change takes place. But Peter is telling us this morning about the reality and the purity of that Jesus who dwells within us. Because he dwells in our lives, we have to reference his power until we reflect that holiness that abounds in Christ Jesus. We have to make sure that our thoughts about Jesus are full of awe and reverence. For this modern-day Christianity is very defective in this respect. Because there's no such thing as loving Jesus too much. But you can love him with too little reverence. And if you refute our current day religion, I think you'll find the remnant of unwholesomeness. Just because love is not worshipful enough. This generation today only looks at half of Jesus. Our concern is always with what he provides and not what we provide him. I want to serve those to you this morning that Jesus is more than a provider. He is our judge as well as faith. He's the lion of the tribe. He's manifested in the flesh. He's manifested in the flesh and our brother. He's also God, our creator, as well as our redeemer. Is he the Lord of God? Lord, every thought and every action, Lord, speaking right, this is he, your Lord. He wants you to make sure that you got a Christ-centered dedication. We can move in on what he called a Christ-centered education. Peter says, be ready to give an answer to everyone. The dedication of Jesus prepares us for education, but the dedication
self educate. We have to apply our hearts and our minds to wisdom under the leadership of Christ Jesus. But our text says that the lady evolved from academic teaching. It might be applied that Peter was an unlettered man. But bear in mind that his academic teaching was under the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. Peter was in the classroom of Christ Jesus for 3.5 years. Now, I've been to seminary, I've graduated from seminary. I mean, to tell you the truth is that theology on its own can be boring. It may put you to sleep. But with that academic instruction, you got to make sure you have that Holy Ghost working in your mind. And when they got that academic instruction and that Holy Ghost is there with it, it's no longer born, it's new. Carry words. And then when you get that academic training, you have to have some systematic training. What I mean is that you have to be ready to speak, to give, to witness, not just teach the law, but you have to do some training as well. Meaning that you have to apply what you learned in the classroom to your everyday life. Amen. You got to get some guidance and some direction to learn how to apply that teaching to your everyday life. Then we can move on once we get the education down. We can move on to a Christ-centered presentation. And there's Christ-centered education and Christ-centered education, you can expect a Christ-centered presentation. And this presentation will be reading. Peter says, be ready to give a reading. And that word reason translated in the Greek is called logos. And it means to imply a thoughtful and reasonable explanation. Too much of our thinking and wisdom to the day is just unrelated scriptural text and cliche. God forgive us. But to reflect the divine mind of Christ is to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. And this Christ-centered presentation is not only reasonable, it's reliable. Let them know why you have the hope that you have. You see, the message of the Bible is a hope. Somewhat the teaching of the Old Testament, Paul says, for what the things were written before were written for our life, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The old biblical patriarchs looked on hope. The poets in the Psalms, they sang of a hope. The prophets declared their flame and burning messages in the hope of the coming Messiah. Then the Messiah came. He lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended on high to return one day to consummate all of the hopes of the past, the present, and the future. For the New Testament method is a method of hope. To quote Paul again, Paul tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith unto the grace with which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a message. What a message of radiance and relevance to a word or that is law and holy. You see, our message is the message of hope, and we can't forget that. For those who are past a reliable testimony of Kelly said that they have a living hope. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the abundant mercy and have begotten us to pass you a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Then the Christ servant preaching Jesus it must also be respected.
Amen.
You see, you can't present your message with an airy attitude.
Well,
the attitude that only shows what you are and what you know. Nobody needs to hear about me and what Jesus can do. So we got some hearers where the spirit of the statement is not over than the content of the message. But they can rest assured, you better make sure that your message is on point. Your answer is on point. Nobody needs to see you. We come to see Jesus. And we want Jesus to represent what we can talk about. If you are attracted by the message and the content of the message, you're on the right road. For I'm getting ready to close that. But I want you to make sure that you get this straight before. That no matter how trying the times are, Jesus is the answer. For Jesus, and it does so much for us that we cannot tell it all. Jesus is the answer for our hope. For Jesus, that same Jesus who traveled down 42 generations, stopped up and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. That same Jesus who tabernacled down here for 33 years, healed the sick, raised me in the dead, and then back to the mountain. The same Jesus who made his way to a hill called Calvary, carrying an old rugged cross that he was nailed to. The Bible tells us that he died on Friday, buried in a borrowed tomb. And let me emphasize the fact that that tomb was borrowed because he only needed it for 3 days. Laid there on Friday, laid in that borrowed grave all day Saturday, but early Sunday morning, my Savior and your Savior got up with all power in his hand. And let me in all fact this morning. Jesus is the one who woke us up this morning. Jesus is the one who has made a way for us every day of our life while we were going through our trials and our tribulations and friends and family were far away. It was Jesus who stepped in right on that. And I got hope that no matter what we may face tomorrow, Jesus will step in based on what he has already done. Jesus is the answer. And because he's the answer, I trust him, because he is the answer. And because he delivers me, I love him. Why? Because he's my master. Why do you have hope today, Master? I have hope because Jesus is the answer. He still made a way, God. He still left it. He still delivered. Can I get a witness?
The sooner I know that Jesus is able.
If not, I submit to you today that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy lean on my Savior's name. All right.
The solid rock, I say, all other rock is seeking sand. And that answer will take you through a multitude of prior situations. Jesus is the answer to whatever you are going through, be it a pandemic, be it a health issue, be it a financial issue. Jesus is the answer. So I say amen. Amen.
Yeah.